Okay, and welcome back, hour number two. We're going to take a little bit of a look at the George Floyd death through the eyes and mind and analytical ability of one of our top former law enforcement professionals in this country, John Carman, former White House Secret Service agent, U.S. Customs officer for close to 20 years along the border, also was in the San Diego Police Department for a while. He has been watching this whole thing very closely. I talked to him several times today, and there's some very interesting things that he would like to say about this. So I thought I haven't seen any other professional law enforcement individuals really take this apart and look at it properly. We've got a number of things under John's name in guests. Take a look there. There's a video, the reconstruction of the George Floyd death. And it's 50-50 whether he was asphyxiated or died of a heart attack. We don't know. And the first autopsy said heart attack. He had two forms of heart disease. And then we find out he had coronavirus. We know coronavirus caused fatal heart attacks in a lot of New Yorkers, for example, because it has the ability through its polybasic cleavage to attach itself and invade the body cells, many different types of body cells, in the major organ systems of the body, including the heart, for example. Okay? So the coronavirus, which he's had for some time, apparently, it's not said to be active, but he still has traceable amounts of it. That coronavirus could have gone in and done even more damage to his heart. And so when he was put under the unforgivable stress and horror of what happened to him, his heart quit. Certainly a possibility. Many people have pointed out that he did continually yell, "I can't breathe, I can't breathe," for 6-7 minutes before he finally went still. If he couldn't breathe, how was he yelling and making noise? I'm not a doctor, I wasn't there, but I've watched the videos. He was certainly still able to talk. That doesn't forgive anybody for anything. It's just bringing up a point. Now, the issue we're going to look at tonight also, and if you look under the name John Carman and guests, you'll see still frames showing Floyd dropping coke, as in cocaine bags, dime bags, as he's being pulled out of his black Mercedes. Now, I can't tell you I was able to get somebody to pick up those two white bags, do an analysis on them to prove it was cocaine, but it certainly stands to reason that it probably was. Floyd was on, as we know, on fentanyl and methamphetamine at the time, and if he was selling cocaine, and he may well have been, it would stand to reason that that's not an illogical conclusion, at least to project, he would also have been doing some of his own. Cocaine, meth, fentanyl, not exactly a role model. We're not even talking about the porn films, the aggravated robbery that got him 5 years in prison, and God only knows what other things. This guy is not a role model, not for anybody. And yet look what allegedly has been going on under the idea of protesting his death. It's not what the riots are all about. They're all about taking this country down. This was all planned, and it's all being executed, no pun intended, by the communists and Soros and the others behind it. All right, with that said, let me welcome back John Carman to the program. Hello, John. It's great to have you here, especially with all of your expertise in this field. Let's go to it.
Good to be back, Jeff.
Yeah. All right, you've looked at some of the things I put up under your name, I guess, have you?
Oh, yeah. I've been looking at other sources before we started talking about this in detail.
Yeah,
and
I know you have.
I'm still bothered by the fact that the security cameras were restricting what we were seeing, which is interesting because originally the vehicle was parked off the side of the street with the door, the passenger side door open enough for somebody to come up. Yeah, to make contact with the guy.
To make a buy.
And there was another black male and a black female sitting in the vehicle as well prior to the contact by the police. And
a male and a female, correct. Yeah.
Which is even more interesting because they screwed up from the very beginning, even though we're being told that the cops were called based on a bogus $20 bill pretext thing. So
right.
And I'm saying it that way intentionally so people understand. I am former law enforcement. I don't like crooked cops. I've been through that system before for many years. I've reported corruption by the government that still, the government still says, this is the latest quote, they have wide discretion to do what? To not investigate felonies? Yeah, that's basically what they're saying. So we're in a serious situation here that people don't know, and I'm glad to give you guys an update on that too as well. So
good. All right, let's, just for fun, let's go look real quick at this. You'll see it under John's name in guests, and it's said it's number 3, still frames showing George Floyd dropping Coke bags. They call them dime bags. Click on that, and you'll bring up some freeze frames. The top one shows the little bag that he dropped out of his hand. You'll see his hand right there, right under his hand as he's being led around the back side of his own black Mercedes. He dropped another one as he got out of the car. I'll show you that as we go down. But let's just assume that he's dropping white things on the ground. It's not really irrational to suggest they might be dime bags of Coke, okay? That's just a common thing. That's what they sell on the street corners. So if he were being pulled out of a car and he dropped two of these dime bags, the cops never noticed it. That's that's pretty embarrassing.
I was going to interject on that one because this is what I do professionally. I dissect these things because people don't know it. They don't work police or law enforcement. And when they made first contact, he was acting strange. He was not acting like he was violent or resisting. He was acting like he was intoxicated. And at some point in time, somebody was quoted as saying, oh, it took him up to 5 minutes to cuff the guy up. And I said, no, I timed it pretty well. It was under a minute. But I can still do it in a couple of seconds. What are they wasting time on unless there's some other extenuating circumstances? But if you're cuffing a guy up, he's not supposed to have anything in his frigging hands because that could be used as a weapon or some other reason.
Oh, they never checked. He's dropping bags in the street.
Here's what I want to suggest.
Dropping something. Yeah,
I want to suggest this so you'll understand, and people out there in the audience, is that if the officer, quote-unquote officer, cuffed the man up, Mr. Floyd, and he didn't have it in his hands, which I wouldn't expect that he would stuff it in his pants or his shorts, and then when he started walking away, they drop down naturally, and they won't see it. And I've collected stuff from people at the border.
Oh, I see.
To toss
I got
baggies.
You.
Same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You come out the cups on the ground later.
Exactly. So if they shove it down there real quick, it's the first place they're going to throw it. You won't see it. The cop won't see it. You cuff him up, and as soon as he walks away, the cop would have to be very observant. Uh-huh. And I've caught people like that at the border where they try to toss a baggie and put their foot on it real quick. See what I mean? They got caught.
Gotcha.
And then I would have to go
gotcha.
Down. Okay, move your foot. Cuff the guy up. Move your foot. Take it from him. There's the powder. So there you go.
Yeah.
But it's hard to see. It's good that you caught that. I haven't been interviewed on this recently. I've been asked one other time by somebody else. And when I told them some of the basics, they freaked out. They froze up. They didn't want to go that direction because apparently that was not their agenda from some CBS news station thing. So I don't think you guys are affiliated, but it's just the idea that and originally they put out the contact officer who, to me, we discussed his name. He has an unusual German name, Koenig or Keog?
Koenig.
That's right.
K-U-E-N-G. Koenig. There's a missing vowel in there.
Yeah, and to me, he looked like he was Muslim, kind of a shaved head.
Well, that's a European, that's a German, Belgian kind of a name.
Exactly. So I'm going, okay, I'm focusing on him because he was the original contact officer that went around. But I'm telling you right now, they've altered the videos because I've seen a separate video where they showed two officers making contact and this guy, the officer Koenig. And then on another video, Koenig was by himself coming from the driver's side, so it doesn't make sense. But he's the one that put the cuffs on. This is the key I'm trying to get people to understand. Once you put your cuffs on somebody, they are under arrest, detention, legal arrest, and he is responsible for that person's body and everything. So if something happens to him, who had him under arrest? Whose cuffs are these? Koenig's responsible. Now, if he takes him over later, which he does later, he did not search these other two people. His assisting officer didn't help and assist and take the black man and the black female that got out of the vehicle. They let them walk up onto the sidewalk by themselves. They weren't cuffed. They weren't searched, and let them stand there. And these guys are out looking off other directions. These guys could have tossed something as well. And I'm leading up to this part where they finally cuffed Mr. Floyd, walked him across the street around the corner there within eyesight.
To back to the store that he allegedly passed off the counter, the Chinese $20 bills.
Exactly. Yeah. Run by a guy who's a Middle Eastern background and all that stuff.
Right. Let me say one other quick thing about the
sure.
dropped, whatever he was dropping. He dropped two what looked like Coke bags, which would make perfect sense. Black Mercedes, he's on fentanyl, he's on meth, could have been drinking too. I clearly acting drunk, according to the storekeepers in that store. So he's a druggie, no doubt. But you can look above each set of pictures and look at the original videos, and you can see them actually come out and hit the ground. All right, I just got the freeze frames for you to make it a little easier. Go ahead, John. Thank you.
Oh, yeah, and here's another thing. When I make contact with a person or a suspect, I'm also checking their eyes. And if he's acting funny, I'm looking into his eyes. I'm uh-huh. talking to him. I'm evaluating him the whole time. And I'm a drug recognition expert. That's part of my training when I was a police officer. And you get that when you're U.S. Customs. And I processed 4 to 5 million people. I did the estimates a while back.
Wow.
Over 15 years. And I've got more profiling experience than a lot of these alleged FBI profilers that probably did a couple hundred or maybe a thousand or so.
How about the rank and file men and women cops? What kind of profiling ability do they have? Not
exactly.
Much.
I mean, if you're working like I did, I was in and out of my car all day long or night, stopping cars, stopping suspects, talking to people, et cetera. Right. But anyway, let me get back to this about the profiling. If I stopped Floyd, cuffed him up for any reason, I'm checking his eyes, you can get close up enough to see his retinas. And I'm going to suggest this. You say you think maybe he might be on cocaine, but fentanyl is the drug of choice. You only need one drop, little drop to get certain effects. And certain people, in fact, I had kidney stone removed last year, and they put propofol or fentanyl in your system to relax you because you're going to shove an air passage trachea tube down your throat.
Yeah. Yeah, breathing.
We both knew Ted Gunderson. I think that at some point they gave him too much propofol, just like the Michael Jackson thing. So
easy
that's
to do.
Just dangerous.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, very dangerous. So still, they had it in the system. They did the autopsy. Meth and fentanyl were the major ones showing up. I don't know what percentage is. I would like to see what that is. But I'm suggesting he probably had some meth. He probably had some fentanyl. And that's really serious stuff. So, which means he can make a serious amount of money on one dime bag, which is probably more like a $50 or $100 at least.
Yeah.
Okay. So, so that's where that's going. But anyway, he's walking him off. He's acting stumbling drunk. Maybe that's part of a ruse. Then he goes over and takes him to sit him down next to the wall, and he's concentrating, and then a backup officer shows up with his lights on, which shows something's going on. People need to stay back. And he's turned his back against the other female and the male that he let out of the car. They weren't searched. They could have had weapons. They could have done anything. Then they get Mr. Floyd up. He had to be assisted up, which means they can do it with one man. He's not heavy. He's like 6 foot something and 200 pounds. And I read that. I already got that information, which means they can handle him, and he seems to be okay to get up. They assisted him and walked him over to the other corner away from these other people. Then the backup officer makes a U-turn, and he goes over there. And then they left the man and the woman all by themselves, and the woman sneaks over to the vehicle with the door still open and reaches in and grabs something. That's not supposed to happen. Those people, those officers failed at the contact, at the follow-ups, dropping evidence.
They
didn't search the suspects.
Bungled just about everything.
Everything,
not to mention
all along
him
the way.
Or causing his death.
Exactly. So leading up to all this stuff, I'm very upset about what I saw originally, which was Derek Chauvin, if I said his name right. We kind of discussed
that. Chauvin.
Yeah, Chauvin.
Yeah.
Like chauvinist, right?
That's it.
And he's putting his knee in the guy's neck, and I said, what the hell is he doing that for? Of course, Rush Limbaugh had to say he had him on his trachea, and I said, no, he didn't. He had it on his neck.
He wasn't close to his trachea. He was
exactly
on the side and the back of his neck, as if to immobilize him. That's right.
Exactly. He's laying on his stomach. This is part of a control technique, and I've got an extensive background in martial arts, okay?
Uh-huh.
If you lay somebody down for a period of time, which is not necessary. Let's say he's on PCP, and I've had to deal with some people on PCP. You can't do a sleeper hold. They won't react the same way. You have to cuff them up. You may have to hogtie them, which means you have to do ankle chains. Get them to the hospital first so they can be treated to calm them down. They will tape the eyes over and put earplugs or cotton in their ears and give them a Darvon or something.
Wow.
And I've had to help treat a police officer one time because he got exposed to PCP on what they call SHRMs in a joint. That was an arrest we were doing. But anyway, point was, these officers failed at this stuff. And I'm going back to Chauvin is putting pressure on the neck, which is very dangerous for an extended period of time. He's applying full weight of his body. Then another video shows another officer is putting pressure on the guy's back, on Floyd's back. That means he's having problems breathing because he can't use the diaphragm muscles naturally to breathe, and you've got somebody on your back. And if a man, 180, 200 pounds, is putting pressure on your back, he's gonna slowly asphyxiate. He's not gonna get oxygen to the brain, and the carotid artery by Chauvin was put enough on there that he's gonna pass out. Now, eventually, he did look like he passed out, but I don't like the response. It's not like he just sort of went to sleep.
No, it's like his heart stopped.
Totally limp. Yes.
And believe me, you got two medical exams, right? The first autopsy said he died of a heart attack. That may be correct. The second autopsy was a hired gun medical examiner.
Michael right? Badden.
This guy did Epstein. He was involved in the Kennedy assassination, the cover-up of the actual murder, forensics. This guy's bad news, so whoever hired him. Oh, by the way, they had George Floyd's funeral today already. Now, get this one. He's in a premier edition coffin, but the coffin is closed. Now, he was not disfigured in any way, and I cannot believe that the family would not want that coffin open so the world could see George Floyd lying there in state. The coffin was closed. Now, that should send a warning. Not proof, but a warning out that something weird may be going on here. I'm not saying it is, not saying it isn't. A closed coffin in an obvious show trial that's coming up, and this is an obvious major event. An open coffin is far more valuable than a closed coffin. They want people to see the evidence of the misdeeds of the cops, the murder. Look, even if he died of a heart attack, it was still induced by the behavior of the cops. So there's a problem here, no matter how you slice it. But that closed casket, John, that just rang a big bell with me.
Yeah, that's like saying, who's buried at Grant's tomb at Arlington? Joke. Or here's the other one. Who's buried at Graceland in Elvis's casket?
And they still
haven't exhumed that one. That's another radio show. But we talked about that too, because if you do contributing factors, and he had a pre-existing condition, like a heart condition. He had had drugs and stuff like that. And drugs will affect the heart and do all kinds of things. And I speak from a different angle because I've experienced three heart attacks. I got four stents through the anterior vein. In case there's anybody medically that thinks they know something about that, then I just told them. But the point is that if you do drugs, it can affect your body. Now, what's interesting is somebody brought up the thing about COVID-19, and the Chinese were burning the bodies. They didn't want anybody to have an autopsy. They covered it up, and then the Italians came up just about a week or so ago. They had done autopsies. They proved something else was going on, and then the Germans did it. So this COVID-19 is starting to be used. It's getting old, you know. I don't want to even talk about that because I don't think it even impacts what's going on here.
Well,
otherwise, right, you know, it's like the guy that got decapitated. Yeah. They're going to claim COVID-19, but still contributing to the death. So they went from one basic arrest. They've charged four guys. Now they're trying to sugarcoat and say, okay, one's going to get charged. Chauvin is going to be a second degree murder. Premeditated would be first degree. I think Trey Gowdy was talking about stuff that he's familiar with because he used to be a prosecutor. But then the other ones would be in an aiding and abetting situation. Well, if they contributed to a man's death, they could be charged with manslaughter. And they can also do the civil rights violation, which is a federal offense. They're letting the state have a piece of him. And if they can't do it right or not, they could still charge him with civil rights violations or the four officers and jack it up to a higher degree to life imprisonment or possibly even a death penalty.
Well,
and I'm sitting here frustrated about other people.
Yeah. Hold on. Talking with former White House Secret Service Officer John Carman, tremendous background on the border, customs. He's one of our heroes. And we're looking at this through his eyes and his professionalism. We'll be right back to continue in just a couple. Hang on. Okay, I was taking a look at a couple of the pictures of the ceremonies for that great American George Floyd. That coffin, that's a premier edition casket. Might as well have been nailed shut. You cannot tell me, no one can tell me, that they would miss a photo op like this. If you were in a head-on crash and in 100 pieces, you keep the casket closed. He was fine. They should have had that open and should have been taking pictures of him, which would have been burned into the consciousness of this country forever. Closed coffin raises a lot of very credible questions immediately. So that's one thing you don't want to miss, okay? Now here's another little quickie. Conservative pundit Candace Owens, African-American young woman, very well-spoken, has come out and told the truth. Floyd was a violent criminal. He's not a role model. Here's just a little clip of what she said.
My silence would have been better in the beginning, but the more that I think about it, I realize that we are being sold a lot of lies, and at the detriment to the black community, at the detriment to the white community, and at the detriment to America as a whole. So I want to come out and say that I do not support George Floyd and the media depiction of him as a martyr for black America. I'm going to explain why, and I hope that some of you guys will understand where I'm coming from.
Okay, her comment is up online. You can find it. But that really angered a lot of the manipulators in this whole ugly scenario, and they kept calling her, a racist in reverse, and a lot of things. But the guy was a bum, all right, a bum, a criminal lout, and to even pretend that all these horrible crimes have been perpetrated to honor his memory is laughable. It's just laughable. It doesn't mean we are okay with the killing of anybody by police. Police in this country, John, have already killed well over 400 Americans of all colors this year already. They're en route for another 1,000 year. That's cops. That's what we get. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's crazy. And I agree with what you said. I was going to say something similar because no matter what this person was, what laws he was violating, it doesn't justify what they did to him.
No one's saying that.
And I would testify in court with anybody on that because I've defended all kinds of cases where cops screwed up and the Miriam Carey case, which was back in D.C., and a bunch of other ones, and people don't get it. They don't know the laws. They just figure, oh, it's okay to do this.
They've never even read the Constitution, John. Most people never.
Exactly. And I'm looking at the video while I was listening and during the break, and I'm still watching. And the officer had told the man and the woman to step out after they went to contact Floyd. Well, they never even searched them. They didn't ID them. I didn't see them take any IDs from them, which they should be running NCICs and some sort of criminal checks, DOBs, names. Get that over the airwaves. Get it registered on some sound device and recorded that they're making contact. And then there was a vehicle that was parked right there before they moved everybody and moved Mr. Floyd in cuffs. And they had it recorded on their video, and they drove off. So what were they doing? They didn't get their license plate, but somebody turned the video in later. So it's just one screw up after another.
Right.
But
How did they miss two bags of whatever the guy dropped to the ground? How did they miss that?
I think he shoved him in his pants pocket or in his waistband, and then as soon as he gets out, they drop out naturally through the pants leg.
I thought I saw one come from his hand, but you may be right. At any rate, they should at least look at the ground once and go back to the car, check the ground, see if anybody dropped.
And they didn't. Oh, my God. There's so many screw-ups with these guys. I'm questioning whether Keenug is a rookie, less than a year or something, and he's on his radio. He's not doing the touchy-feely thing that I would do because once you're up there and you're detaining somebody, you can talk to them and you can search them and check them out and do all kinds of things, and they weren't even doing that. You know, and I got an extensive martial arts background. I have to interject that too because this police procedure on how to make arrests, how to cuff people up, how to get them down on the ground. If you have to do that, you cuff them, you search them, both sides, roll them over, pick them up, set them up onto their feet. You transport them to the vehicle and you set them in the back seat.
Right.
And you make sure you always check the back seat before you take your car out to make sure nothing was shoved down before you.
There was
like
reason for that bum to be on the ground with a cop on his neck. No reason for it.
He was
intoxicated.
The car in the street.
He was correct. He was drugged. He was intoxicated. He was not a formidable opponent. Let's put it that way. All they had to do was cuff him up, sit him down on the ground with his hands behind him, and that would be it. He's done. So,
well, typically what I would have done, I wouldn't let him stay outside because he's under my custody. You have to protect him. That is the key thing, is that you are to serve and protect, and that's a big deal to me. You cuff somebody up, you search them, you put them in the back seat. Now, one time I had to take a guy that was out of the stadium, some young kid that got drunk, put him in the back seat, and he was getting ready to get sick, so I had to pull him out real quick and toss his head out. You know, so he could vomit all over the place or regurgitate, and some other people walking by, you know, unexperienced civilians are like, "Oh my God, oh that's horrible." You know, I go, "Really?" I mean, I'm trying to keep him from asphyxiating on his own regurgitation, so it's a life-saving technique. But yeah, if he didn't look like he was going to have any other health issues, you got to protect him. Put him in the back seat. You've already searched the back seat.
Mm-hmm.
Then he's covered. They had him out on the street, which means a speeding car could have come by and wiped them both and all of them out. That's stupid. They're not thinking. They think they own the street.
No, they didn't look like professional law enforcement at all.
Well, that's what I was questioning. Is they've got a park police designator on one of the backup units, and yet those guys are Minneapolis PD from another unit, so they have two different designations. So apparently they've got some that are park police, same uniform. Light blue shirt, dark colored pants, or dark blue. You know, and I'm looking at how this guy even had his badge on, and you know, it was really strange. But again, the way this guy, his body language told me, this guy, this officer did not know what he was doing. He had his jaw dropped like he's looking around for direction. He's not thinking. These guys don't act like they have enough experience, or they need to go back to the academy, or they need to have special in-service training.
I couldn't agree more. Yeah, they did not look professional. No.
And everybody does it. That's why I don't even like watching cop shows. I don't even have a TV set anymore. You watch cop shows, you look at all the mistakes, it just frustrates you, and you go, no wonder people have problems. You know, because I've intervened and had to get involved in certain cases where, you know, unlawful shootings, unlawful deaths, and I'll submit stuff, and I'll offer my services to the defense if necessary, if it's a righteous case. And a lot of cases have happened. You know, and I could bring up that Miriam Carey case, and that was another failure by Capitol Police, but they're trying to blame Secret Service. They may have miscommunicated.
Tell our listeners who Miriam Carey was again. That was another story that's gone in the dust of history.
I talked to the attorney just the other day, who's an ex-New York cop, and he told me that since there was no family members over the age of 18, like the son or the child, which was actually in the back seat, they have to wait till that child turns 18 so that they can bring a lawsuit of over millions and millions of dollars against the U.S. government for the death of that child's mother. And I'm thinking, really, I don't know why they can't have a guardian ad litem right now to represent the child as a minor, because you don't know if that child will survive. Maybe
that's
something
true.
Happened to them.
That's
See?
True. Yeah.
See, so it doesn't make sense. They're trying to bury it because it was an unlawful killing by Capitol Police, another situation, and they didn't communicate properly. And I've seen this throughout my career, that cops and feds don't communicate properly. I've assisted cops when I was off duty. San Diego PD, young, white male, clean-shaven, wet behind the ears, had a gun pointed at a mom-and-pop Hispanic Mexican couple in a little pickup truck with a camper shell. So I had my badge out, pulled over, you know, say, hey, I'm, you know, U.S. Customs, can I give you some assistance? And the guy couldn't respond. He still had his gun pointed with both hands like he was at the range. And I'm going, oh, my God, this guy's froze. So I talked to the man and the driver and, and his wife or whatever, talked to him in Spanish, got the keys, you know, and took the keys, put them on top of the cab. So obviously they're not going to just drive away, but they were scared. And they didn't move, and I said, it's okay, relax, just don't move, and, you know, it'll be okay. And I'm turning to the guy and say, hey, there's no threat, put the gun away. He didn't do it. He's not communicating. He's not responding to me. So an officer of the law, San Diego PD, did not even respond to me. I'm thinking, this guy's got a problem. I'm going to have to hang around. Finally, a black San Diego police officer shows up, and I said, that's it, I'm leaving, because this guy's got a problem. It could have got nasty. Something could have happened. He could have shot. I could have got shot. I don't know. You just don't know. And this is on the side of a busy highway.
Yeah, you read it right.
You know.
You got out. Yeah.
But that's
all
just
right,
an indicator. Anyway.
So where does this go from here? They had the funeral.
After they took him to the side.
We can't prove he was in that casket. Don't forget that.
Oh, yeah. If they wanted to, but they've already had two autopsies. They had the one initial. They tried to cover up things, in my opinion. And when they come out with the autopsy, with the toxicology showing what drugs are in his system and may or may not have contributed to, then they're trying to do something else, and they're trying to rule away from asphyxia and or the carotid artery. Now, if you put pressure on somebody's carotid artery, and I've made people pass out at martial arts practice and stuff, sometimes not intentionally, but that's just the way you do it. You have to recover them. You have to slap them in the back of the shoulder when you set them up between the shoulder blades, and you have to massage their upper trapezius muscles and upper neck so you can get the circulation going. Now, they didn't do that. He went out. Did you see him do a recovery maneuver? No, they did not. I would criticize that and say they left it that way, which means they activated something in the nervous system. And if you're familiar with DMMAC, and a lot of people don't even understand that stuff, you can make somebody pass out if you do a certain maneuver, and I won't describe it in too much detail, but you can make them pass out with just hitting a certain nerve. And if you don't recover that person, that nerve is still activated a certain way, and the muscles will constrict and act abnormally around the carotid arteries, which is still cutting off the oxygen and the blood to the brain. then you've got brain death and all these other things going on. They didn't recover him. If they know how to do the technique, then they were not taught properly how to recover a person. That's what I was getting at. So if people understood that, then you have to ask what kind of training did these guys really have to put a knee in the back of some guy's neck and the side of his neck. And they've outlawed chokeholds years ago. You know, chokehold is where you put the arm in front of the trachea. That's a chokehold. That's dangerous. So
sure,
they outlawed those. And if you remember that case in New York where the New York cop was jumping on top of this big black man.
Eric Garner.
That was an yes, Eric Garner. And that was an illegal chokehold. They should have gone after that guy because that was not called for at all. Then he was having, that was the original I Can't Breathe case, which was several years ago. And then if he had done the sleeper hold, even then he could have done a martial arts hold on the left or right wrist, wrist twist lock, got him cuffed up or not, and then got him up to his knees or whatever. But don't put him down. He's a big guy. He's got a big gut. The guy must have been over 300 pounds. And if you put somebody down on the ground, it's like saying if you have a beached whale, a whale will asphyxiate on the weight on their lungs.
Their own body
they
weight,
won't be able to breathe. Same thing. No. It's the same thing. So they screwed up on that case. You know what makes me sick, Jeff, is when they say, oh, they ought to fire that guy. That's their answer. Those are liberal left-wing idiots that don't
have
any understanding of the law.
Well
and they commit felonies, and people die, and they go, oh, they ought to fire that guy. That's the answer. Really?
Harebrained.
People like that go to prison.
Idiots.
Yeah, they go to prison, they serve time, and or they get the death penalty and other severe actions, but they just don't get it. But, yeah, I've dissected this and dissected this. It just really irritates me. And the fact that they had one video from camera two, they have another camera video from another camera, then they have a camera from the vehicle that left the scene, that got turned in. So you've got very interesting video that shows inconclusive information. It doesn't make sense because I said before two officers were contacting the driver, not one. See what I mean? It doesn't make sense.
There's another. I'm going to get before we run out of time. Look under John's name and the last entry there. It says two banks burned to the ground in La Mesa, California. That story did not make as much traction as it should have. Two banks, these are, you know, branch banks in La Mesa, which is near San Diego, and they were burned to the ground. Take a look, open that up, and look at the pictures. John sent those up today. A Chase Bank and a Union Bank.
Yeah,
go ahead.
I went out there, Saturday and didn't see any activity before all this stuff happened. They waited till about nightfall, 7:30, 8 o'clock. Sunday, all this stuff's going on. I already had phone calls. They're telling me, no, don't go back there Sunday. Don't even go in the area. And I said, okay. I went first thing Monday morning. Post office was closed. Vaughn's got attacked. This location is off Spring Street in La Mesa. And La Mesa was targeted specifically because it's a small town east of San Diego before you get to El Cajon. It's a small department. It's just not the type of activity that you would expect. But when I went over to check the bank, because I had a special reason, I couldn't believe it. That's a bank I've done business with at the Union Bank, and you could see it clearly. It got melted down. The only thing left is a vault that has all the strong boxes. You know,
yeah, look at the steel.
Boxes.
Twisted, melted. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
That's not gasoline. That's not a gasoline fire. Sorry.
Exactly. And I've got an EOD background. It goes way back to my training with Secret Service in 74. And I'm thinking about what happened at 9/11, thermite charges, Marat Building, 1995, April 19th. They used something like magnesium or thermite, if they knew what they were doing, tossed it maybe on top of the roof and walked away or something. They smashed windows, of course, everywhere. But the point is, a single Molotov cocktail is not going to do that to that building and leave the structure with steel beams melted and bent down. And if you look at the first photograph, that's the Chase Bank. That's a very good description because you see the framing of steel beams. And if you think about what happened at 9/11 in New York, the Twin Towers, that stuff got collapsed. It self imploded like one of those demolition things, you know.
But well, that stuff was a professional job, of course.
Exactly. Those people are put there, and they're splinter groups. And I've been trained at this too. Secret Service. We had demonstrations. We had the Savak from Iran, because the Shah of Iran had just left about that time. He was friends with Nixon, and they're out there taking pictures. But we're always careful of people interjecting themselves into peaceful demonstrations, like at mm-hmm. the border at San Ysidro across from Tijuana, and they'll mm-hmm. do the same thing. In fact, one of the groups was out there protesting, and they have all these, you know, elderly people, women, children. They do that intentionally. It's a communist type of a move. And then all of a sudden, somebody whips out an American flag they just happen to have in their back pocket, which happened to have been previously doused in a gasoline or something, and lit it up. And I happen to have a large black Border Patrol guy next to me in green, thinking he has to go stomp it out. And I said, no, once it's hit the ground, leave it alone. It's already desecrated. It's going to get burnt anyway. Leave it alone. There were camera guys that would jump out of nowhere to take pictures of that. Then they would put it all over their news media and communist propaganda. Yeah, U.S. officials stepping on, you know, U.S. flag thing to make him look bad or whatever. But that's how they operate. You know, so every time they have a demonstration, you can bet that they've got infiltrators, and at the right moment, they'll whip out a bottle, they'll whip out rocks, and you notice that they're posting stuff all over the place about how they put stacks and stacks of rocks and bricks.
Oh, bricks, yeah. Some of them are legitimate construction bricks for paving the road. Some weren't, so yeah, nothing is absolute.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of weird, but it's kind of obvious, and then somebody traced it back to what Bill Gates and another connection to Soros. I've got, you know, I just tweeted the president just, you know, before the show, and somebody put up a really great photograph, and I can't mention name because I didn't get permission from him, but I borrowed the photo too. It was like one of the Saturday Night Live guys, the big heavyset guy. You're familiar with that guy? I can't think of his name.
Yeah, I've seen him. Yeah.
And he's basically bending down, talking to Barr, for the love of God, arrest somebody, you know. And I'm going, yeah, that's exactly my feeling. I've been bugging those guys at the White House for years. Why haven't they arrested the 150,000 people on sealed indictments with a D after their name? And they're still waiting. They're not doing their job. You know, I will be the first one to criticize those people because they act like they don't know what they're doing. You know, if they need help, yeah, reinstate me. I'll go to work, and I'll tell you how to do an arrest, do the police reports, take them to prison, get the U.S. attorney off their butts and do their jobs, you know. And they're still looking for U.S. attorneys because they didn't fire all of the ones that they had from the previous administration. So they're embedded everywhere type of thing. So yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, yeah. Somebody just sent me a video of two cops chasing down one white male down an alley, and they caught up with him, and it's really sickening. They had the batons.
I didn't mention they
beat that guy. I don't know how he could survive it. So that's that doesn't help. I'm not saying the cops shouldn't do anything, but let's arrest the guy. All right, just cuff him, give him a couple
that's
of whacks, and
you know,
and
I've had to do that. I've had to chase people down on high-speed pursuits in San Diego, cuff a guy up after I chased him down like half a block through backyards and all that, got him down, and then my partner would come in, and he's getting ready to wail on him. You can see him raising his fist like he's going to do something. I've got him on the ground. I said, no. I put my arm up between him, and I said, no, he's already cuffed up. I've got him. You know? You can't touch him. There's a special deal about that. I'm protecting his rights. It's called civil rights, so they don't get that. Some guys think they can do it because, well, he made us chase him down, or he made us... No, it's just part of the job. But I forgot to mention that when I was driving around La Mesa, where those banks were burnt down, they're still burnt down. They're still having to be recovered and processed, and they're putting up glass to replace all the glass that was busted out of the local shopping centers and stuff like that. The post office is still closed, and I saw some police officers over there. They're guarding it. Saw some guys in fatigues or that are current police officers, National Guard is stationed there. They've got bulletproof vehicles from the military around the police station and so forth, and they're carrying shoulder weapons. So that means they've got M16s. And I'm just like, hey, how's it going, guys? And talking to them and seeing how they're doing and all that. And they're doing okay, and they appreciate the support. But that should have happened the first hour after all this stuff was going on. They should have declared a special emergency, and the governors failed in this state.
No leadership
just like the other
anywhere.
States.
No leadership, state by state, coast to coast. We had no leadership. It's like people had no idea what to do.
Well, they're worried about the Insurrection Act. They're acting like, well, you know, they don't want to do this. They don't want to do that. Do the Insurrection Act. I've already posted stuff about previous presidents that have done it. It's not a big deal. And then you do the job. If they can't do the job, you remove them from their office and you put people in the can while you're doing the Insurrection Act and going after to control the rioters. So there's all kinds of procedures. They're just not doing it fast or at all.
No, not at all. John, thanks for stopping by and analyzing this situation from your perspective. I agree. These cops are not professionals. Not at all.
Anytime,
you take care. All righty. Thanks, John.
All right,
bye-bye. Mr. John Carman, C-A-R-M-A-N, Carman, former White House Secret Service and 15 years in U.S. Customs at the border. Tough duty. Wise man. Be right back.